This is The Huddle.
It's awful!
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Let's go eat!
The Huddle.
This is The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Rost. A two-hour Seahawks show getting you ready for Week 3. We're going to have Gabe Jackson joining us. You're going to hear from the head coach himself, Pete Carroll. We're going to have some analysts, including the voice of the Seahawks, Steve Rabel. But before we get to any of it, it's going to hurt, but we got to look back. We got to look back at Week 2. The Seattle Seahawks lost in a battle against the 49ers, their first road game of the season. 49ers take this one 27-7. Seattle still unable to get into the end zone. Their lone score is actually a return by the defense to get into the end zone. So still no offensive score for Geno Smith and the Seahawks since the first half of Week 1 against the Denver Broncos. Geno Smith, 24 of 30. Really good completion percentage, just 197 yards. Not too bad. The big problem for Seattle in this one, how about those penalties? 10 penalties for 106 yards, Dave. I'm going to start with you. What were some of the biggest mistakes in this one?
Yeah, certainly the penalties. Let's see. they had, 10 penalties for 106 yards, and then San Francisco had one, which is weird because the week before they had 12 for 99. 25 first downs for San Francisco, 14 for the Seahawks. And a lot of those, there was a lot of drives extended because of penalties or shut down on the offensive side. I think the big thing is the 36 yards rushing, and they had 189. I think the way it went, a lot of people were talking about, well, why didn't they run the ball more? I think when they got into the second half, they got down early because of the turnovers, and then all of a sudden it was like, how do we come back in this game? Running the ball, probably not the best option. So it's one of those things you look at the end of the day and kind of go, okay, the numbers tell one story, but if you go through the game as the time ticks away, you start to see the deficit in points scored, and then you kind of get away from the running game and start going to the passing game. And like you said, Stacey, I mean, good completion percentage. Great there, but turn the ball over too many times, and a lot of mistakes. You just can't do that against San Francisco.
Yeah, especially when San Fran's going to control the clock. That's exactly what they did. They possessed the ball for 38 minutes. The Hawks had it for 21 minutes. Also, the 49ers ran 70 plays on offense. The Hawks ran 47. The Hawks were 2 for 7 on third down. So if you're not possessing the ball, you're not converting on third downs, you're not getting your plays going, it's hard to build an offense off of 47 plays. Right, the better teams run around 60 plays per game, and then you're able to build off it. Like we saw that three running back backfield with Geno at the point, two offset backs, one guy in the back, and that pistol look, and they weren't able to build off of that because they didn't run it. And then we saw the wildcat. It's like, okay, you see that once or twice, and you try a trick play. So it's hard to build an offense when you're not converting on third downs, you're not possessing the ball, and you're not showing the defense a lot. And I think just the 49ers, Dave, they control the line of scrimmage. And we all know, man, it's all about those trenches. As a linebacker, you want your D lineman to occupy guys so you can make plays. Offensively, you want to get a push on that defensive line. So, one, you can protect your quarterback, but in the run game, you allow your running back to see the gaps and run through it. So there's a bunch of things that happened, a few big plays that messed things up for him, the fumble with Lockett, the interception, the flea flicker that was called back. It was almost like anything that could have gone wrong did for the Seahawks.
Yeah, and Dave, I want to actually go to some of those missed tackles. The weirdest thing to me about this game is they knew heading into it, because if we know, and we're talking about it, they absolutely know that this is going to be one on the ground. This is a head coach, and this is a team that likes to run the ball. They had 45 carries, almost 190 yards on the ground against Seattle, which is not a number Pete Carroll likes. And the weird thing, Dave, is that Pete Carroll knew that they would run the ball, and yet this defense was unable to stop them. Is it mistakes you saw more on the part of Seattle? Is there something San Francisco did so well? Because there is something about running the ball and doing it effectively when they know you're going to do it.
The bad news is with Jimmy G in there, because we didn't really know what Trey Lance was going to be about. With Jimmy G in there, this is a playoff team, guys. I mean, their personnel is fantastic. I mean, you look at – I sent Big Ray we're looking at the All-22 film, and against Chicago, Aaron Banks, their left guard, and then Trent Williams, who may be the top 10 best football player in the league. They both got hooks on a fly sweep with players. The defenders were way outside of them. And so they're so good at that, and they don't give anything away. And here's the thing I focused on the most. It was the run game from the standpoint of they don't give away what they're doing when the ball is snapped. So one play that ran for 8 yards, it was early in the first quarter. The offensive lineman kind of stepped just straight forward where you don't really know what they're doing. They run a toss to that side where the guys are just stepping forward. So the inside linebackers get a read like, okay, this is an inside play. And then they end up getting a pin from Deebo Samuel, blocks Nwosu, and then the linebackers aren't able to get over the top of their blocks. And that I thought the two inside guys, they're great players, Cody and Jordan, but they both need to get off of blocks a lot better. They need to get better at that. But I give a lot of the credit to their offense and their run game and the way they run. We always hear about what was it called? The illusion of complexity. They do all these shifts and everything, but really once the ball snapped is where it really happens. They're so good. So, the Seahawks got to stop that. They got to get off blocks. They got to not miss tackles, all those things. But, it's just kind of me tipping my cap a little bit to San Francisco and how good their running game is. And it's bad news for the Seahawks because they're in our division.
This could be a question for both of you. Bump, I'll start with you. But Dave, if you have anything to add after, feel free. Because I think it's a big question fans have is, well, how do you fix it? Like, how do you fix the missed tackles? How do you fix the blocks? Is there a way to practice it out?
Yeah, well, you listen to KJ during the KJ Wright Show 8 to 9 on Wednesdays. He says, look, it goes back to just practicing it at practice. Practice open field tackles. He said practice being inside a box in tight area making tackles. And then a lot of it, man, and Dave, you can speak to this better than I can. It's technique and want to. I always think it's like rebounding. Like if you good rebounders are rebounders because they will box you out, they put your body on you, they're user technique, and they want to do it. And also defensively, I mean, you got to set guys up for that as well. You know what I mean? There were some things on defense that I saw that I felt didn't really help the linebackers get to these guys and make those plays in the backfield. But it comes down to exactly what Dave and what Pete have been saying. You have to get off of blocks and gang tackle, especially when you are playing against a guy like Deebo Samuel, who more than likely is going to break the first tackle, right? That first guy, get your hands on him, slow him down, and then the rest of the has to get to the ball.
Yeah, and you know what? If you look at on the other side of the ball, the San Francisco defense, they didn't fall for anything.
Nothing.
The reverse, the throwback to Geno, they were all over it. The fly sweep, they were all over. Yeah. Obviously, they were there when DJ runs the read option and throws the ball. Or, I'm sorry, Ken Walker runs it. So, yeah, and you know what? To answer your question, Stacey, I think what needs to happen is you need to have a clinic during the week. One of the things, and I'm not sure, I think Pete does a much better job with this, but once the season starts, we didn't work a lot on technique. I know when I was an NFL player, because you're expected to be able to tackle, you're expected to be able to get off blocks. But I think that, maybe for your inside backers, just do a clinic one day a week of getting off blocks, how to hit the guy and, shed him and get, shed the guy away from the play side for tackling, just run tons and tons of tackling drills, for the outside guys, especially, and then for the inside guys getting off blocks. I think Pete's really good that way. I think he, during his practices, there's a lot of technique. I think Clint Hurt's big on that too. And that's just what they need to get back to, because this is basic stuff. I mean, look, Daryl Taylor has a tackle for a 3-yard loss on Deebo Samuel. Now, that's a really good football player, but it ends up a 51-yarder. So, those are the kinds of things that even just a little thing like that, and if he made that tackle, nobody would – I mean, you go, wow, that's nice job, but he was right there in position to do that, and, we wouldn't be talking about that 51-yard run. So yeah. It's just getting back to the basics, which I know a lot of people are tired of hearing that. Sorry, Stacey, but, no. It really is true because – and we'll get into this later, but they have a bunch of young guys that they just need to keep putting them out there, man. Keep putting them out there and let them make their mistakes and fix them.
Who are some of the young guys whose development you think matters most?
Well, for me, I mean, look, Kobe Bryant has an illegal contact and a pass interference. Michael Jackson has two PIs. Woolen has two PIs. I mean, those are the guys. Abe Lucas, he's in downfield, false start, holding. Daryl Taylor, offsides a couple of times. I mean, yeah, those are the guys that that really need to, you know, just keep working, man. Just keep working. Put those, keep putting those young guys out there. I was comparing it to Top Gun. Remember when Viper, when Maverick kind of lost it after Goose died?
Sure.
And then Commander Viper said, just keep sending them up. Keep sending them up. That's what I would say about these young guys. Keep putting them out there, man. Keep putting them out there, and they will get it down eventually.
All right. You guys are listening to The Huddle. Coming up next, we're going to get started. That was enough of a look back. Enough of a look back. We'll probably dabble into week two just a little bit, but for the most part, we're looking ahead to week three against the Atlanta Falcons. Seahawks return home for this one. Pete Carroll going to get us started. His press conference coming up next.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to two
on Seattle Sports Station.
You are listening to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Ross. Seahawks practice just wrapped. We are waiting on Pete Carroll to hit the podium for his weekly Wednesday press conference. Before we get to that, though, let's quickly keep moving the conversation forward here ahead to week three. Now, it sounds like I'm talking about week two, but I promise I'm not. So I went to Wyman for a question about some of those missed tackles and how they fixed that, a question about some young players as well. Bump, I'm going to start with you. And my question is, DK Metcalf, not involved nearly enough. Now, credit to Tyler Lockett, nine targets for 107 yards. DK Metcalf, just 35 yards. How did the Seahawks get him involved more?
One, I think you can do some pre-snap adjustments. There was a couple of times where I'm watching film, and they got DK to the single receiver side. You got two or three receivers to the right, DK's to the left. You got a corner who's playing off 6 or 7 yards, and his first move is bailing. He wants to get out of there. He doesn't want to get beat deep. So if he can get on the same page, him and Geno throwing him the hitch sign or the slant sign or something, I think that's a way to get him the football right now when you're playing soft coverage. Also, there's another instance where I'm watching film, and there's a double move. It's actually on that interception that Geno threw to Lockett. DK had a hitch and go, or he converted a hitch into a go, and he has the DB beat. The DB's on his hip, but he has like half a step on him. In the NFL, that is beat, right? So take more chances with that type of coverage, because DK has shown that he can win those 50-50 footballs. So I think it's pre-snap adjustments. Obviously, you have to design some plays to get him open, but when he has a step on a guy, don't be afraid to throw that football, let it go.
All right, Wyman, I might cut you off if Pete hits the podium, okay. But otherwise I'm going to let you go here. What have you seen so far from the offense? It could be what you've liked, and it could be what you want to see more of.
Well, I think Penny is just a cut or two away from breaking one. Same thing with Ken Walker. He was just a little bit, his timing, you could see he had one, I think one carry that went for 8 yards, and the other three went for two. So, you know, I feel like those guys are going to continue to develop. Yeah, with DK, I mean, they're kind of sitting on the slant with him. I feel like if you beat him over the top a couple of times with DK Metcalf, which I think is, I don't want to say easily done, but he certainly wins the size, strength of hands battle over any DB, then, you know, the underneath stuff will start to open up for him a little bit.
Guys, there's another receiver I'd love to see involved more. It's not Tyler Lockett, because he's doing a great job. It's D. Eskridge. Bump. Mm-hmm. How can they get him being used? Oh, just kidding. I'm going to interrupt myself. Pete Carroll talking to reporters now. We'll take you there live.
Just begin his rehab. But everybody sounds pleased that it worked out okay.
Do you have an idea of how long he's going to be out for?
I don't know.
Did you do just the knee or the fingers too?
No, they didn't do anything with the fingers as far as I know. I didn't hear about that at all. He's already had those worked on, kind of, you know.
I thought he needed something after.
Well, he might, but that's not the main concern right now.
And was it a torn quad tendon? Is that the official?
Yeah, sounds pretty good.
Go with that, okay. Is he away from the team indefinitely, or what's the plan?
He's going to be there for a bit while he starts his rehab.
He facing a team that's 7th ranked rushing, just the task of trying to make them one-dimensional, any team one-dimensional that can run the ball well.
Yeah, we certainly want to have to attend to that. They've looked really good. The running backs have looked good. The quarterback has been a big factor already. You know, they've really transitioned quickly to Marcus being in there and shifted the emphasis where he's a big part of the run game too. He's averaging almost 5 yards a carry. You know, so that's always a difficult deal. You know, and for us, you know, it always is because they run option football. So we got to take care of that.
Talked about building a team that likes to run the ball and play good defense. Do you see similarities in what they are building their team around and what you are doing?
Yeah, that's, you know, you've heard me long enough. I think that's a good way to go. And he's getting it done. It looks like that's where they are. They're very active on defense, very multiple and challenging there, as well as with the new dimensions of the run game really make it difficult.
What can you tell in week three that maybe week one and week two we're still sorting out?
No, I that's really happening. We're still, and I think a lot of teams are, you know, they're learning, you know, what looks right for you with your guys, how far have they come, you know, how much can you use them. We're adapting as we go. That'll be ongoing. In every season it's like that. You know, you got to figure out how it all fits together, and is it like you projected, and where are the, you know, the guys that have stepped up and done some things that, you know, may have changed your outlook. So that we're still there. We're still working on it.
How have you felt like there've been the major issues getting the running game going so far?
Well, the 49ers had a lot to do with it last week. They did a terrific job on us, and we weren't able to get the kind of spacing that we were used to, you know, that we were counting on. So we have to be better at the line of scrimmage. We got to be stouter. We got to make sure that we don't get penetration and they get the negative plays and the plays that, you know, that keep you from feeling good about the running game.
You got any more info on Damian Lewis?
He went through the walkthrough today, so he's got a thigh bruise, but he got a lot more done than we thought he would. He looked okay moving around. So I don't know. I think we'll take it easy on him today and you know, take each day one at a time here. But that's a good indication.
And one more on the running game. With Rashad and Kenneth, was it hard to just, I mean, they didn't have much room to run.
No, they didn't. We didn't get the observations made. There was not enough opportunities to see stuff that we wanted to see. So we'll go at it again this week.
Can make it out of the game, okay, with this?
Yeah. Yeah, he was fine.
Is Shelby going to practice today?
No. No, he's not. Matter of fact, he's got a family thing he's working on. He has to take care of business. So he's not here today.
The TV broadcast showed DK pointing his hand and his back at some points on Sunday. Is he fine coming out of the game?
Yeah, he was fine today. Yeah, he got you know, whacked a couple times, but he's fine. He bounced right back.
Last year, you guys were really good against the run, kind of making teams one-dimensional like you wanted to, but some of the passing numbers still weren't there, pass rush numbers weren't there. What did you learn about last season in that the idea that, like, just stopping the run may not be enough?
We never just tried to stop the run. We just did it okay, you know. It's always been, you know, an important part of the game. And so I didn't learn anything as far as those results to these results.
Speaking of stopping the run, Al Woods, 3 tackles for loss in that game.
He continues to be really, you know, really successful pounding the line of scrimmage. He's knocking guys back. He's making plays. His, you know, he's so big and so strong, and he's playing really hard too. He's chasing the football well. He's done a lot of really good things, and it's turning out to be very productive.
Red zone efficiency on defense has been really good, picking up from where you left off last year. What's gone into that in the first couple of games?
Say the beginning of the question again.
Red zone efficiency, yeah. Keeping opponents.
Yeah, I think it's we have some background where we've had good success. We know what we're doing and what we've added to it with the stuff we have with the new look at it has been, you know, it's been effective right off the bat. Right now, people don't know what we're doing. You know, they have to figure us out, and so we have a little bit of an advantage in that regard.
It's been several years since you've gone up against Marcus Mariota. How has he evolved as a quarterback? Has he shown similar traits than when you guys saw him 5 years ago?
I've always liked him. I've always liked his athleticism and his running ability, and he's always been able to do a little bit of everything well. You know, he's been able to throw the ball too. He kind of got mired in a backup role. He looks like a starter to me. You know, he's back at it and he's doing great. What you see is that he's still a real threat to run the football. He's really fast and he plays fast and he's got a good attitude about it. He's aggressive with the way he takes off and runs, and you know, it's they get vulnerable there, but still, he's making the most of his opportunities. I think the way that they have shown it in the first couple of weeks, it really plays to his strengths. That's why I say that coach has done a nice job of transitioning, you know, from a totally different makeup of a quarterback, and right immediately it showed up that they were able to take advantage of what Marcus can do.
Is it that drastic of a shift for their offensive system that they've gone? I mean, is it completely 180 from what
they
had last
year? Well, there wasn't much concern for Matt running the ball. You know, he was a classic, you know, a pocket quarterback. So this is almost the other extreme, you know, and so it's a big change. That's why I acknowledge that they've made a nice transition quickly, and it's felt. We already feel the difference.
Patterson's career transition has been interesting, obviously, receiver and running back. What's sort of the challenge of him and how he works?
Yeah, he's been a remarkable player always, but it has been, it's been a process for people to figure out where the best place to put him is, you know, because he's been a receiver that never really got over the hump there, and he's always been a phenomenal returner and as good as you could get. But he seems to be settling in at the running back spot. He looks different than the running backs that you've seen. He won't look the same. The numbers are so different and all that. But he's really tall and he's really fast. But he's taken to it. They're off to a good start with him. They have a nice mix with their runners.
Kyle Pitts has been used a lot as a blocker this year. But what's the threat that he poses if he gets going there?
Well, they're lining him up outside and throwing go balls to him. You know, so. That's a big statement in itself, and he's a guy that you can tell they really like, and they're looking for ways to get him the football. It hasn't turned out maybe as productively yet, but it's coming because he's a really talented kid. He looks like a wide receiver playing.
How's Darrell Taylor doing with the new defense?
He's learning. I think we're adjusting. You know, in this early part of the season, we're trying to figure out how best to use our guys, and you know, proportionally rushing versus playing on early downs and stuff like that. So we're working at that. He can do everything, you know, and we particularly like him as a rusher coming off the edge because of his speed and all that. So we're learning. He's learning. We're learning.
Seemed like Darrell Johnson actually gave you some nice plays on defense last week. Well, what have you liked to see about him since he's come over to you guys?
He's a real natural football player, and it's why he looks good in special teams. You know, I mean, there's not very many 260-pound guys running down on kickoffs and punts and making plays too. He's got sense and awareness. He's also a really good technician at the line of scrimmage. He can play 3 technique or 5 technique or 9 technique. He can do them all. And he just gets in there and he's just been raised right. And he's got the real long arms that he has. He uses his length and he's been, the aggressiveness shows up on the special teams from before. And it showed up in the game. You had a couple big shots, you know. And so he's made a really positive impression. We'll see more of him. We're gonna play him more.
Sorry.
Yes.
How has Cody handled starting? Cody Barton's being the starter now.
Yeah, Cody's taken to it. He's learning the system well. He's in it. You see him starting to pick his times to take shots. You know, making plays and going after stuff. That's when guys feel confident and they know they're doing the right thing instead of wondering if they're doing the right thing. I think he's going to continue to show up in those kinds of settings. He's going to make plays in the backfield. He's going to make plays on the perimeter. He's got really good ball instincts. He was a DB, you know, and a safety and all that kind of stuff. You can see it when he gets on the perimeter and in his coverage and all. So there's a lot of stuff we're still working on, but he's made a good transition and he owns the spot right now.
D. Eskridge, I think, has played 11 snaps combined. What's keeping him off the field?
It's just taking time. It's just taking time to get him comfortable where he's really consistent with his stuff. He's got to learn, you know, our stuff, and he's getting there. He's working hard at it. He's just missed so much time. He's still in a rookie process to me, you know, and I hate to put him into a rookie year again, but I see it that way. It's going to take him some time, and we want him playing, we want him out there. He's got talent that we need to utilize, but he's a case of a guy when I don't want to do too much too early and get him screwed up, and so we're just trying to bring him along, and he's ready to he's dying to play more.
Is he ready?
Yeah.
Does Justin Coleman have a chance to get back this week?
I don't know that yet. Not on this day. He's not going to go today.
Pete, after the game, you said Keenum could really get it going, and then the next day, trust him, can't hold him back. Was there anything that you saw on film that made you change your perspective?
Well, seeing that you know, we didn't find our explosions in the game, you know, and I felt like there's no reason not to go for our stuff. And we have all kinds of things that we want to do, and I think we can do more of it, just the things that we work on and all. And with this thought that I'm not going to wait for, you know, 3-4 more weeks to figure out what Geno's looking like. I think he looks really good. I'm convinced that what he's done in practice and what we've seen, he's carried to the games. The game's not too big. He's very comfortable in the games. He's very poised about stuff, and he's accurate as heck. And there's no reason to be worried about him at all. The process, I think that's really the statement I was making. I feel better about it, and I know the coaches do. And, you know, we've not played many games where guys complete 80% of their passes for a couple weeks. You know, that's nobody has, you know. So we're just gonna go and see if we can get this thing rolling at a better clip than we have been.
How have you felt Josh Jones has played?
Good. He's doing well. Yeah, he's doing a nice job. You'll see him continue to get moved around and do more things with him. He's been real productive for us and active, and we have a lot of confidence in him.
How do you like the way that your team has responded to Sunday? Just kind of bounced back. I'll
let you know a little bit later. I want to know after seeing him on the field today and get back Thursday and get rolling. What I do like, this is finally a regular week, and we cherish the routine of it and to get our mentality right and our process right and our recovery right and all of that. This is really the first week that it feels like it's a normal sequence. So I'm anxious to really capture it this week and take advantage of it.
What have you learned about Charles and Abe through these first two games?
They're doing it. They're playing. You know, they're out there doing it, and they're holding up their own. They're really attentive to the things that they need to improve on. You know, that we in communicating with them, they're not being hard-headed about it. They're not being where they can't handle the criticism and the critique. That means that there's nothing holding them back now. We just got to keep going and keep playing. They've seen some pretty darn good guys already. They'll continue to see good guys, you know, each week in and week out. But we're starting to build a little reservoir of experience. So it's nothing but positive.
When you asked about Kobe after the game, you said you kind of need to look at it more. Now that you've gone back and revisited his play.
Yeah, he played a solid game. Unfortunately, he had the penalties, you know, penalties that got us. And those don't have to happen. Those are plays that we can get rid of. You know, we had Michael had two and he had a couple. You know, we can get rid of those. And that's something we're making a big deal about it. You know, understanding what the officials are calling, what is allowed and what isn't. I'm still concerned about when we've had like four deep balls called and we've been all over the deep balls with the corners with Michael and with Wool, and three of them have been penalties. You know, I mean, we can't cover them any tighter. So I'm still trying to help them find their way to the finesse part of it at the end of the play. And they're not. There's a case where guys panic at that situation and they'll grab and they'll do stuff. They're not doing that. They're in control of what's going on. So I know that we're going to be able to clean that up.
Where does Sydney?
Was head coach Pete Carroll. We are getting you guys ready. Plenty more to come as we preview week 3 for the Seahawks. This is The Huddle.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
On Seattle Sports Station.
You are listening to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Ross. Gabe Jackson going to join us in just a few minutes. Before we get to that, though, let's take a look ahead to the Seahawks Week 3 opponent. Seattle's back at home for this one at Lumen Field, taking on the Atlanta Falcons. Wyman, I'm going to start with you for this one. The Falcons heading into this season had really low expectations. They've had some surprises, though. Tell us a bit about this team. What do you see?
Yeah, well, I mean, this is how the NFL goes, because first you look at the schedule and you go, all right, we should be able to take that one. We should be able to take that one. Then you get in the week and you go, damn. Okay. You got Grady Jarrett with a sack and a half so far. Drake London, 19 targets, 13 catches, 160 yards. He's their first rounder out of USC. So, you know, and then Cordarrelle Patterson, 80, about, almost good for 100 yards a game. So, you know, and I'll probably be saying this against, you know, most teams that they play, like, you know, we played Detroit, New Orleans after this, that it's more about the Seahawks. Really, I mean, and them being fundamentally sound and everything, but this is a good team. You got Jake Matthews. I mean, they're very well staffed as far as the, you know, talent goes. But again, they have a question mark at quarterback, and mm-hmm. you know, that's familiar for a lot of teams in the NFL. He's thrown a couple of interceptions, but man, you look at their offense. They put up bump 26 and 27, and they were in that Rams game, man. As much as Cooper Kupp was just shredding them, they came back and made it a game.
Yeah, Falcons got heart. You know, they were down, what, a bunch of points, several scores, and came back and made the game interesting. We just look at them. You mentioned how the points that they put up, they're ninth in the league with 26.5 points per game. They will run the football, averaging 145 yards on the ground. That's good for seventh in the league. And then I also look at time of possession, possessing the football. We know that's been an issue for the Seahawks. They've held the rock for about 31 minutes per game. So you combine that with the coaching staff you mentioned, with the talent that they have over there. Marcus Mariota's good for a couple good plays a game. You got Kyle Pitts, the receiver slash tight end out of Florida, going into his second year. Only had one touchdown last year. They're expecting a bit more out of him. You know, as you know, Dave, you can't sleep on any team in the league. Yeah. And you're right. Going into the season, you look at this Atlanta game and then the Lions game, you're like, okay, you can count on those being wins. But as the season develops, as the weeks go by, each team presents a different challenge. Then you look within yourself and the Seahawks and you say, okay, there are some things that they need to get going. So I'm just looking for the Seahawks to be the more physical team mm-hmm. against the Falcons. I think after last week and pushed around a little bit, that should be a point of emphasis.
You mentioned presenting new challenges each week. Also come new opportunities, though. The Falcons defense, not great so far. Now, we're one to talk here in Seattle. Obviously, the Seahawks have their own stuff to work out. But against the pass, the Falcons ranked 22nd. They're better against the rush, allowing 108 yards per game. Still not great. Importantly, though, they're 27th in points allowed, allowing almost 30 points per game so far. Wyman, I'll start with you for this one. The Seahawks missed the end zone. They would like a reunion with the end zone. What needs to happen here?
Well, I'm going to be the boring old coach. They need to execute. But, you know, like I said with Gabe, and he seemed to feel that same way, that they're just a couple of plays or a couple of moves from busting big plays. Great example would be, nobody wants to remember this, but Deebo Samuel breaks one tackle in the backfield, and he's off to the races, 51 yards. I mean, Rashad Penny can do that. Ken Walker, I'm really curious to see. Like I said, he had a couple of moves where it's like, I think you can see that he's figuring it out. That like, okay, that doesn't work in the NFL. Okay, that doesn't work in the NFL. And I feel like he's going to find that at some point. So hopefully, yeah, we'll get back to the, I think we saw Geno pressing the other day against the 49ers. And like we talked about before, against a really good, sound defense, D'Amico Ryans had that team in the D coordinator. He had that team in the top 10 in almost every category last year. So, yeah, I think that it's been a tough go from that regard, but I'm hoping to see something more like what we saw against the Broncos offensively.
All right, well, let's get some insight from one of those offensive players. Offensive lineman Gabe Jackson joins us next on The Huddle. Don't go anywhere.
This is The Huddle.
Brought to you by Hunt Services.
Every Thursday from noon to 2.
On Seattle Sports Station.
You are listening to The Huddle with Dave Wyman, Michael Bumpus, and Stacey Ross joining us now. Our first time talking to you. It's Gabe Jackson. You just wrapped practice. How was it?
It was good. We had just finished our walkthrough.
Gabe, it seems like you guys are just right there with the running game. I mean, just a couple of cuts here and there. You got a lot of young guys working in there. So tell us about where the run game is at right now.
I feel like we're not far away. You know, we just got to keep being more consistent with the fits, the technique that we're being taught. And it's going to hit.
Gabe, it feels like, at least from outside looking in, that the first 2 weeks were a different type of weeks, right? I felt like the Niners were a bit more physical than the Broncos. How do you feel? And if I'm right, how do you feel like that helps just the development of that O-line and especially the young guys at the tackle spots?
It's good. You know, for one, you know, they played against some good guys, some good ends, and they competed well and held up. So that's always good. And it carried me for a guy their age and helped with their confidence going leading forward.
I'm going to ask a weird question. Don't take offense to it. But I think that there's this idea like, oh, if you have an emotional win, which week one was, but if you have an emotional win, then it's tough to get your head out of that for week two. Do you find that that's the case?
I mean, I can't speak, you know,
for like the team
everyone,
as a whole. Yeah.
But it's you can get in that to where you are excited. And it's also the other end of the spectrum to where when you lose and you're like, oh, man, yeah. It's a horrible feeling. So you can't ride the highs and lows of it. You just got to know the truth behind it, what you did well, what you did wrong, and move on to the next week because it's going to keep going.
Yeah, and Gabe, you're in your ninth year, so obviously you you know how it goes. Are you taking the time to, I'm sure you are, but taking the time to impart some wisdom? You got some young fellows out there that on the field. Tell us about what you've been talking to those guys about.
I mean, for one, they're a great group of guys, you know, the whole room. But the young guys, they're working hard. They're trying to take coaching. And anything I can tell them from my experience or just – you know, competing a certain technique or try to, you know, explain certain things a different way that maybe they're not getting from the coach, you know, because everybody learns stuff different. I might say something different versus the coach, but we mean the same thing or stuff like that.
Kind of a different question. I get here around 8:45, 9 o'clock, and y'all be rowdy as heck in here. What is going on
with
the
squad? Oh, my God. I have a video. It was so loud.
Can you tell me that, or is that kind of an in-house, we can't tell nobody what's going down?
We just have fun, you know. Every day we got to come in with good energy, positive, and go out and compete and have fun. You know, this is a dream job. A lot of people wish they can do this, and I'm glad I can do this.
Sure.
Is there basketball shooting?
Oh, yeah.
Is there any kind of like presentations that happen?
Oh, yeah, sometimes, yeah.
Have you had to, or when you were a new player last year, did you have to do any kind of presentation in front of the team?
Oh, no, I didn't.
Okay.
Yeah, bet.
I think that's reserved for rookies, not for a veteran, but.
All right, so how's your basketball game, Gabe?
Important question. Good one, Dave.
Up to shoot.
I'm a spectacular free throw shooter. You can dunk. I don't know about now. It's been a while, but outside of that, I'm not that good.
What about, like, isn't there ping pong in there, too? Do you guys have a ping pong table? Oh, okay.
No.
They used to have what? I know you guys like to compete outside of, yeah, in the locker room. No,
I
more
can
ping
play
pong.
A little ping pong now. Okay.
Is there, like, a yard game where you're, like cornhole, like, what else are we looking at here?
You think about just
what's your croquet. Best game where you're like bowling, croquet, where you're like, I don't care what it is. Outside of football, what could you beat? You're pretty confident, like 99% of your friends at.
Madden, of course.
Of course.
Madden. Who do you play with in Madden?
Sometimes I go random. I select random teams, or I let.
You're like, it doesn't matter any place.
Yeah.
Do you play online?
Playbook, though.
What playbook?
I can't give.
Can't give it away. you play online, or do you play with some of the dudes on the team?
I play online.
Yeah,
yeah.
Who have you played against anyone on the team?
I haven't actually. I need to start doing that. That'll be pretty fun.
Man, they say old linemen become the best, some of the best coordinators, because y'all understand the whole picture and what's going on. So when you do play, are you run heavy or are you balanced attack? What's your approach?
I keep it balanced, you know. I try to make everything look the same and have a little window dressing on there. Do stuff to make you trust me, and then give you the same look and do something else.
True coordinator.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Gabe, every team I was on, the offensive line was always the tightest group. You guys got a tight group? Are you going to each other's houses, barbecue, things like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, we're pretty close. We'll have dinner here and there and get together, have fun, laugh, and joke. Even just in the building, we always find time to, you know, just have fun, you know. Between practice or walkthroughs and meetings, joke, talk about life or whatever it is.
So how eager are you guys to get back on the field? You got Atlanta coming into town, played, you know, two different type of teams. What does Atlanta present, and what's the vibe like with the team to get back out there?
We ready to go back out there. You know, last week wasn't good enough, so it's another opportunity to get better and to win.
What's the mindset like of like, do you like feeling underestimated, or do you not pay any attention to it?
I really don't pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
You know, because everybody's going to have their opinion about everything, but the truth is we know we have and we know we can do.
Because I know some people take fuel from that. What do you take fuel from then? Like, when you're out there, what really makes you feel like you're ready and you're in the moment?
I'm doing this.
The adrenaline.
I'm in the NFL. Like, you know, I'm playing guard, and that's something that I always want to do. So you just got to take pride in, you know. It's plenty of obstacles that I had to go through to get here, and other people as well. So those things help push and drive me.
I'll tell you what, Gabe, you know, a lot of guys at the end of their career, they will say, I wish I'd appreciated it more. Sounds like you appreciate it, man. You're aware of what you're doing, how great of a job you have.
Oh, definitely. I told one of the rookies that actually probably like 2 weeks ago, I was like, look, have fun. He was like, I am. I was like, listen, have fun and go by quickly, you know. I don't know how much, you know, how long I'm going to play, you know, but at the end of the day, this, you know, it's not for long. So you just never know when it is. So you just have to have fun. It might be 3 years, 4 years, one year. You never know. So just enjoy and be glad and be in that moment.
Gabe, play until all 32 slam the door in your face. I'm telling you, it's no good on the outside. Ask Bump.
Oh, yeah. Hey, slam that door on me quick, too.
I like
boy.
KJ talking about now all you guys have to pay for film.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just little thing. Gabe's like, I can't relate.
So my mom is from Jackson, Mississippi. Mm-hmm. My dad lives in Biloxi, Mississippi. How often do you get back, and have you brought your family up here to visit?
I stay in Mississippi in the off season, so I'm there all the time. My family, they've come out here. Yeah. They love it, yeah.
Last question, 10 seconds, and then we'll let you go. But I asked Phil Haynes the same thing, because he's he's from Missouri?
No,
where is he from?
He's from
North Carolina.
North Carolina. Yeah. So he talked about what he liked here and what he missed from home, and he specifically talked about food, because... Guys, come on. Yeah. We're all alignment on the inside. So is there any food that you really love here or anything you really love here, and what do you miss from home?
Here I'm definitely saying STK.
Yes.
I love STK. Back home, it tastes good, but it's not good for you. I'm going to have to go with Zaxby's. If it's a Zaxby here, I'd be in trouble.
All right. He is Seahawks starting offensive lineman, Gabe Jackson. Gabe, it was very nice meeting you. Nice talking to you today for The Huddle. Thanks so much.
Thank you for having me.
All right, you guys, don't go anywhere. This is The Huddle.